So I have asked Franklin Cook from room 207, where we sit today, to share about what it was like to be a college student in 1954.
Well, it was Northwest Nazarene College at the time. We didn't have very many buildings or anything around here. No internet. And no money.
I barely had internet when we came to school here.
So, I think the thing was that I had no idea what I wanted to do or be or anything when I came here.
Yep.
So I discovered that when I became a junior, I had to declare a major. And I had no clue at all what I wanted to major in. And somebody mentioned history to me, and I'd always kind of enjoyed history, but I thought, well, okay. So I became a history major. Then later on, my advisor signed me up for a class called Philosophy of History. And it was taught by our philosophy professor here. And I loved that class. And I became so interested in that I began to take a lot of philosophy courses.
What was it that you latched on to?
Well, part of it was the teacher. Mm-hmm. He was just really good. So, in that class we studied Bourdieu and Toynbee and a lot of other philosophical historians, and I just found it fascinating to look at history not just as a series of dates or events, but as sort of the flow of culture.
Yeah.
And that I just liked it. So then I backed up and began to take a lot of philosophy classes, and I actually ended up with enough hours that I could have declared a double major in philosophy and history. Well, the reality is that neither one of these majors provide job opportunities. I mean, it's not what you... I didn't have any intention of being a teacher of history or philosophy at all. Unfortunately,
you didn't know what you wanted to do. That's why you were doing these two degrees.
Yeah, so here I am. But I was going on to grad school right away, and I knew that. So in a way, it was okay. And I went to seminary and finished that, and then I ended up through another process of being involved in the whole global development of our church and missions and that kind of thing. Looking back, I could see how it all fit together.
Interesting.
Because history gave me an appreciation for the fact the present is determined by the past.
Uh-huh.
And past and present really set the direction for future. It gave me a perspective. Philosophy, more than anything, teaches you how to think. And
not what to think,
not
but
what,
how to think.
How, yeah, not what, how. And so the combination of historical perspective and a process of thinking was really helpful in everything that I did later in life. So my point now is, if kids in university don't know what they want to do, um, it's not any different than it was in my generation.
Really?
Most of us didn't have a clue what the world we were doing or why we were doing it. You know, in my era, there was still the draft to the military. Mm-hmm. So part of our deal was either how to avoid the draft or how to get around the draft or how to manipulate the draft in one way or another. And so I know some kids that stayed in school just to avoid being drafted into the military, because at the time that I was in school, Korea was ending, Vietnam was just beginning, and so you had two big military kind of things in the country, and until I think it was 1974 or five, when Richard Nixon was the president, that we changed from a draft, from a selective service system to a volunteer military deal. So that was part of it. But many of the people that I knew in school had no idea what they wanted to do.
So let's take this college student that you graduated in 54?
No, 55.
55, okay.
I came back though and left NNC permanently in 57.
Did you come back from more work for school?
Yeah, I went to seminary 1 year, had a bad year, came back here with the idea of getting a master's in education.
And they offered a master's program through the school?
It just started.
Okay.
I did not finish that master's because by the time spring came along, I knew that's not what I wanted to do. And there was no point. So I really picked it up some courses that I just wanted to do.
Yep.
And then I went back to seminary.
And finished there?
Yeah.
In what year?
60.
So it sounds a lot like some stories that I've heard over the last few years, and as I talk with young adults and youth leaders and young adult leaders. But let's recap this for a second. A college student that doesn't know what they want to do, so they pick a major that they think might be interesting to them, but it has no practical application once they graduate to make a living. Now, then you go to seminary, come back here, go back to seminary and finish 1960. Give me a thumbnail sketch overview from 1960 over your career.
Well, I never felt like I was called to be a pastor, but I always felt like I was called into some kind of ministry. I didn't know what it was, but in that time, if one wanted to be ordained as a minister, it seemed logical, if you're going to be in ministry, that you should be ordained as a minister. It may not be logical at all, but at that time it seemed logical. And back then you had to pastor in order to be ordained. So I pastored, got ordained, and then was asked to come back and join the staff of the World Mission Department. And so that's what I did.
And then give me the overview of from World Mission, just you were a utility hitter. We covered that in another conversation.
Yeah.
But what were those different roles that you served in?
In World Mission, well, I was candidate secretary for 12 years, and I dealt with all the candidates from the time they first wrote a letter or made a phone call.
Missionary candidates.
Yeah. To the time they were actually appointed as missionaries. They were my responsibility. So I did that. I also was given the assignment of preparing all of our promotional materials, meaning at the time, it seems primitive now, but visual presentations that local churches could rent. In these days it would be video, but this was pre-video.
It was like slides in a projector?
Slides.
Like single slides in a projector with the round feeder on top?
Yep. Those kind. And so I had to write all of the scripts and prepare all of that material. I had to deal with all of what were called approved specials. Everybody that would send money in for any project or building or whatever, worldwide, this is pre-regions, I was responsible for writing them a thank you letter and following up with them. So then I became director of the whole youth interests in missions, Student Mission Corps, and a lot of other activities. I was asked to direct our first motion pictures. So I became a movie director.
Because you had a lot of experience with that.
I had no experience whatsoever.
Right. Awesome.
I was never experienced. I was never trained for any of these jobs.
With your history, philosophy.
One of my great messages to people is you don't have to be trained in order to do a job.
Oh, let's don't share that one.
Well, you know.
That's how it works though, isn't it?
It is. The reality is if you're willing to get in and learn it, you can do it. So, yeah, I did that. And then there were just a lot of other, in those days, we did a lot of travel. We did a lot of work in local churches. And so I was always the guy that was expected to organize these trips and make all of the arrangements and make all the contacts with DESs and pastors and other people. So I don't know what, it didn't have a title. It just...
You were logistics.
I kind of ended up doing almost everything. Even in my last 2 years, the director of World Mission was quite ill, and he was still functioning, but he was not, he just was very ill. He had cancer. And so in effect, I almost became, well, I don't want to say I became the director, but I had to do his work.
You were acting in his place.
Yeah, but not officially.
Right.
They would never do that. But anyway, from those years, then I went to Tribeca, and I was there 6 years and taught missions and did 6 other jobs. And then I went back to Kansas City for 2 years, and I was the director, or I guess I called him coordinator, of urban and ethnic ministries for USA Canada, which was a fabulous job because I was able to visit and help out people that were doing urban ministry work in major cities in the US and Canada. That's a whole other book. And then from there I went to Arizona and worked with businessmen in fundraising for church planting and land development. And then from there went to Europe and became a regional director. So that's kind of the overview.
So, just to bring this conversation around, where you're at right now today, sitting in that chair, on this campus where you were a college student, what would you say to that college student today?
Well, of course, what I would say to that college student is would depend on who that college student was.
To yourself. Franklin Cook time travels to Franklin Cook on campus here in the 1950s and says,
take it a step at a time. That's what I'd say.
Fair enough.
No, in all seriousness, I've sent that to a lot of young people if you can't see the future, try to at least see the next step. And the second thing I used to say to these candidates, because they always say, well, how do I know God's will? And I would say, well, think of it like a sailboat. You're out in the lake and there's no wind and you're just kind of drifting around. But then a wind comes up and the sails of the ship tend to lead you in a direction. Just go in that direction if it's something you like and enjoy. And God's will come in when God doesn't want you to go that way anymore. He wants you to go another way. I did it a little better than that, but that was the idea.
That almost sounds biblical. It's almost like something I've read in Scripture before somewhere.
I don't know if you know the name David Abney. Does that name ring a bell? He was one of the founders of, not Youth for Christ, but, he was a big leader in the student volunteer movement.
Okay.
And he used that sailboat thing a lot. And I think probably I picked that idea up from something I read of his stuff. He used to be quite well known as a writer and all that. But that's what a lot of kids would say all the time, you know. And what I discovered in that candidate job was you'd have lots of teenagers, right? But very few of them would follow through.
Just take the next step.
Yeah.
Thanks, Franklin.
Okay.